Hi, I'm Dr. Kanika Tomlin, Deputy Mayor and City Administrator of this awesome city of St. Pete. And welcome to Just Getting Started. Every other week, I invite you to come in and sit down with us as I bring in some of my good friends and change agents who are making things happen here in our awesome Sunshine City. Sometimes it'll be members of our team. Sometimes it'll be people who are working outside of our team. But we all share a common goal of taking St. Pete to the next level. And as we move meaningfully along this margin of excellence from great city to iconic one, there are so many things that are happening. So much has been done, but here's the secret. We're just getting started. And today, we are going to talk a bit about our park system, because we have long celebrated the uniqueness of St. Pete's park system. It really is one of a kind, but there are so many awesome things on the horizon, and we're going to give you a peek inside of some of those things you can look forward to. Joining me is our Leisure Services Administrator, Mike Jeffress, who is an awesome subject matter expert, really is an industry leader, not only in our state, but across our nation, and he is stewarding our parks with unprecedented commitment. So, Mike, tell us a little bit about our park system and help our city, who knows so much about our parks, even get a glimpse of just how unique and special they are.
Thank you so much for that intro, Dr. Tomlin. I really appreciate being your first guest. And I don't think it's a mistake that you started with parks, because we know that it does start in parks. Here in St. Petersburg, parks are part of our DNA. They're part of our fabric. Our forefathers have protected our parkland, and we're doing just the same today. Our park system is very unique. Our park system is the third largest waterfront park system in North America. We are a nationally accredited agency. We follow best practices, and we have deliverables, and we make sure that we're doing what we are charged with doing as far as protecting and preserving.
It certainly comes as a part of the code of being a good St. Pete citizen, loving our parks and understanding what they offer and doing what we can to advance them. So I think you have a whole team of St. Pete citizens standing behind you.
We really do. The whole team is diverse and specialty, and we're very excited about our day-to-day operations and getting the job done, frankly.
Now, I was born here. I grew up here. I've lived a few other places, but I really thought that I knew everything there was to know about St. Pete. Then when I came to work for the city, I was just blown away, particularly by the richness and robust nature of our parks. And we've only been growing that in some meaningful ways. Some really cool projects are on the horizon. I'm going to list a few off here. And then if you would, walk us through those and some of the things we can look forward to. We have some awesome things happening out on the west side, which is the best side, as well as all the others. I'm just kidding. No favorites. But I do like the west side. But we got some really cool things happening with Abercrombie. Got something very cool happening at Boyd Hill. I'm so excited to talk to you about
that. Me too. I'm very excited about Boyd Hill.
Which anchors our South St. Pete amenities in such a stunning way. Very cool extension of our waterfront park system with the pier. Can't wait to talk to you a little bit about that.
That will be amazing.
And how we're going to swing the doors of St. Pete wide open to everyone. And then we have some mini parks coming online and some expansions happening at Maximo. So let's talk through those a little bit and tell people what they have to look forward to.
Sure. It's difficult to decide where to start, but we'll dive right in. So let's talk about Boyd Hill. So Boyd Hill is a nature preserve in the middle of a built-out city. It's unbelievable when you step back and you think about it. And one of my favorite locations in the preserve is standing on the island and just overlooking the lake, the preserve, nature, and then you see the backdrop of the city.
Absolutely.
It's unbelievable.
It's a cool, uniquely St. Pete experience to stand there on that little boardwalk bridge and look into downtown, but across that beautiful preserve.
It's unbelievable. It's breathtaking, candidly. It's really an amazing experience.
I agree.
Out at Boyd Hill, we are really providing more services and more opportunity to engage with nature than we've ever done that before. One of the things that my team has really focused on and is really a priority for us is connecting kids with nature.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that if we don't create and foster future advocates of natural lands, then we're not going to have anything into the future. So one of the things that we're working really diligently on is opening up the 31st Street side of the preserve and allowing families to camp there at that location.
Now, you know, this is a personal passion of mine, because this changes the trajectory of kids' lives when you connect them with nature in that way. And so many people have a barrier, whether perceived or actual, about being able to do it or getting off site to a campground and figuring that out. So it's a big thing that you're doing with this. Tell us a little bit more about it.
We're excited. Some in our community are afraid of the woods. They're afraid of being out in the forest. And we really want to break those walls down. We want everybody to know that the wilderness, the preserves, that can be a location where you can go and you can decompress and you can really de-stress, which, let's face it, everything that's going on today in our society and in our city and pandemic and everything else that's going on, we need to de-stress. And that's really available in a preserve. Out at Boyd Hill, we're changing the way that we do business. We have opened up more trails, longer distance, if you will, than we've ever had before. We're connecting the ESA area to the preserve proper. Again, we talked a little bit about changing the way the footprint of Boyd Hill looks. So on the 31st Street side, we're going to be building a unique building that really is a welcome center. It's going to be a ranger station, if you will.
Like you see at state parks or
exactly.
National parks.
That's exactly. We're emulating that look. There has been some confusion on the 31st Street side. Which gate do I go in? Here's the Pioneer Settlement. Here's the ESA area. And what we're looking to do is really kind of consolidate that down into one entry. We're going to have a very Florida-looking, cabin-like feel for our ranger station. We'll have classrooms there, so we'll be able to do more programming, more educational programming. Again, we will have 25 campsites to start. In the past, we've only allowed groups to camp on Boyd Hill. So this will be the first time in our history that we are going to allow a single mom to take her son camping or daughter camping or a grandma or a single dad. We're just so excited about making that a reality.
So this is all about accessibility and knocking down walls and making things easier for people to understand and navigate and know how to celebrate our beautiful space.
That is exactly right. We really feel like the families that share Boyd Hill as their backyard should have full access and should be able to camp there overnight under the stars.
It's good stuff, Mike.
We're excited.
Thank you for that. And friends of Boyd Hill, I want to give them a shout out because, my goodness, you talk about citizen engagement, making a difference.
Fantastic.
Really a wonderful example.
We work so well with the Friends of Boyd Hill. They support us. We support them. The relationship is stronger than it's ever been.
Yeah.
We really are all paddling in the same direction.
Yes. So when can we expect that? I want to be one of the first families to camp out there.
So our plan is to have that set up by the end of summer. So we're kind of phasing in pieces, but we will definitely let you know when the campground is open and available for camping.
Super. So my daughter, Nia, she started a program with you, with your help, Love Where You Live, where she talks about all these spaces with kids. And I just want to let people know, man, one of the things that makes me most proud about our parks team is the way you welcome young people and help them, whether it's with an Eagle Scout project or a gold award for Girl Scouts or just learning about their community. So thank you for that.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
It really helps them grow, for sure. So what about Abercrombie?
So that is an exciting project. It's a project we've been working on for the last couple of years. We are very protective of our Indian resources here in the city of St. Petersburg. Many of our parks have Indian Menons on property.
Pause. Let's not assume everybody knows what you mean when you say that.
So an Indian Menon is basically a trash heap where the Indians disposed of their trash. So when an archaeological review occurs, we find bones, we find shells, fragments of pottery, all sorts of really, really cool stuff, frankly.
And it's historically significant because it's the evidence of that society and that life that thrived in the very spaces we're walking on today.
Absolutely. That is exactly right. And our job, and we feel very pressed to make sure that we protect that resource because, you know, without proper protection, we have erosion issues, we have issues with just making sure that it's there into perpetuity, and that's our job.
So we're talking about the westernmost edge of our beautiful city, exactly where the coast kind of meets our perfect parkland and parkway. And Abercrombie is at the northwest edge of that, right?
It is. That's exactly right. And we were approached during one of our public meetings. Our department really likes to get input from the community and make sure that we're understanding the direction that the community wants us to go. And during one of our public meetings, we had a private resident approach us who owned property that was contiguous to Abercrombie, just north of the park. And she really wanted to make sure that that land was protected and didn't want to turn it over to a developer and didn't want to have a mansion put on it. And I will tell you, Dr. Tomlin, it is probably one of the most beautiful pieces of property I've ever seen.
Absolutely.
Waterfront. Stunning. It's unbelievable. It's 2.1 acres dry, one wet. just absolutely amazing piece of property. She sold it to us, and we've been allowed to remove the home. We've worked very carefully with the archaeological experts in our area to make sure that we're doing it properly and appropriately. And we have been able to secure that property and to protect it. We now have added it into our inventory. We will be able to use it as an ecotourism location where we'll be able to attract both visitors and citizens to learn about really what that property looked like and who used it before us, which we're very excited.
That educational piece is so important.
It really
is. So are you taking reservations for sunset, or can any of us just go there anytime we'd like?
So it hasn't opened officially yet. Unfortunately, we're supposed to open it this weekend. We were supposed to cut the ribbon.
We had a little bit of rain.
Mother Nature decided that we were going to delay a bit. So we will open that up on the 20th. So we're very excited about
20th of
that.
June.
Yes.
All right.
And we're excited because it's unusual that in a built-out community, you are able to add to your park system. I mean, we have 2,500 acres of parkland, and under Mayor Kreisman's leadership, we've been able to add a significant amount of parkland in a short period of time, which is really unusual.
It really is. I mean, I want to just pause on that for just a minute, because when you grow up here in St. Pete, you certainly, it's drilled into us that you take care of your parks, and we see it kind of as a static place, but our parks are growing all the time, right?
They are, and where some communities during some of the economic downturns or pressure from development, they have actually, they've seen their parkland decrease. Here in St. Pete, we've done exactly the opposite. We've added out at sunset, Abercrombie we're adding. It's unbelievable the amount of acreage that we've added.
I'm proud of our city recognizing that because we are a built-out community, that the way we're going to be able to add people is through density and going up, but we are committed to also adding green land for everyone to enjoy.
I absolutely
agree.
It
says a lot about who we are.
Again, parks are part of our DNA.
And I, you know, I've noticed in our time of shared service to the city, there's a common theme. We aren't doing this on behalf of our citizens. We really do it with our citizens. Whether you're talking about Abercrombie, where there was a citizen who stepped up, or all over the place, the ways we are able to expand parks are because our people are leading that charge as much as the city.
You're exactly right. And frankly, here in St. Pete, we have experts that don't work for the department, and they're bringing suggestions and they're telling us how to appropriately and properly maintain or protect. And quite honestly, we can't do it alone. So we're very appreciative of all of those comments. And like you said, we really do like working with the community to advance the needle.
What a great partnership. I was walking through Pioneer Park just yesterday, and oh my gosh, it's so beautiful, so beautifully curated. And citizens helped us do that, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Tell us a little bit about that.
So that is a foundation of all of our forefathers and the first folks to reside here in St. Pete. And that group of individuals, so all of the heirs, have really decided that they want the level of maintenance at that park to be just a notch higher. So they have annually written us a check that allows us to take that park to the next level. So that park, we're allowed to add additional annuals. We're able to really make that park polish above and beyond what our standard maintenance would be.
And whether we're talking about Pioneer Park or Friends of Boyd Hill, like we said, or the Green Thumb Festival out at Walter Fuller, we welcome the community partnering with us to make parks.
Can't do it without them.
That's right. Thank you, guys. Keep it up.
Absolutely.
We want it all. So what about this big celebration that's coming up? I can barely sit in my seat thinking about it. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
You have to know what I'm talking about because I think it's all I talk about.
No pressure at all.
With good reason. I mean, the pier.
The pier is going to be
amazing. Amazing. So we contemplated a reimagined pier for a very long time as a community. It was a journey that we've been on for more than a decade. And the sky was the limit when we were thinking about what and how it could be. And then a citizen said something that was really pretty important that I think crystallized everything, that it was an extension of our waterfront park system, which is a world-class asset, that this is a unique opportunity in time to take that to another level and make it better.
Absolutely.
And that crystallized the vision, and I think we're all able to get behind it, made it a whole district. So what is the role of the green spaces in the pier?
So again, I think the green space is bringing people together. And one of the things that we're really excited about, our parks are loved. You've heard me say it before, our parks are loved to death sometimes. So we are really hoping and we're really excited about the Pier District and all of that new green space and connectivity with the green space will take some of the pressure off some of our venues that we have. Speaking of Vinoy, Nordstrom, Southstrom. So we're really excited about kind of spreading that love out right, so that we can allow some of the parks to heal a bit while we still have the number of just fantastic events that we have. One of the things I'm missing most as we move forward with the pandemic that's going on are just some of the special events. It's just not the same. I typically see you at two or three or four events on a Saturday. So it's really been strange to not have that. So we're excited. We're excited about the Pier District coming on, the playground, the splash pad. We're very excited about cutting the ribbon on the Pier District.
I'm glad you brought up the pandemic, because one of the things that I promise to everybody who tunes in and that I want to make sure we always cover is keeping it real. And this has been a really stressful time for our city, for our whole world, managing the conditions of this pandemic and our city of so much kind of communal nature having to separate. But while we were separate, we never felt apart. And our parks were a huge part of that. You know, the mayor was very clear from the beginning of his management of this emergency and this public health crisis that we were going to preserve the openness of our public spaces so that our people could have a chance to get out, enjoy fresh air, work on their mental and spiritual health, and find a successful way through this pandemic. And the parks have played such a key role. You know, some places closed their parks. They felt that's what they needed to do for their community, that that was right. But we had advocates in the city and outside of the city pushing to make sure that never happened. And I think it was the right move in retrospect.
You're exactly right. And I know we spent many an hour discussing what was the right decision when it came to parks and what to keep open and what amenities to take offline. And I totally agree. Every weekend we drove around and checked the park systems and our utilizations went through the roof. I really think it was that one chance to be normal, that normalcy that we all craved during just a crazy time. We couldn't go anywhere else. So the parks were really the spot for us to go and socialize at a distance and to really just kind of soak up some rays and just breathe some fresh air. I think it was critical.
Quintessentially St. Pete, the way we were working our way through this public health crisis. And, you know, I'm always looking for the silver lining. Let me tell you where I found it in this issue. Healthy St. Pete, personal passion of mine. I think it's so important for us to empower and accelerate a culture of health in our city. And we saw so many people getting active, walking around our parks, exercising, doing what it takes to keep moving in this time where they're otherwise having to be inside. I hope those are habits that we're able to promote and encourage and help people keep up.
I agree. One of the complaints we got during this crisis was our trails were too heavily used.
Our trails are too
heavily used. Which is a great problem. We love having that issue.
Walk it out, right?
We were told we need traffic lights and traffic cops to kind of direct traffic on the trails. I'll take it.
Yes, that's an investment I'd be happy to make, having to provide traffic enforcement on our trails because they're so heavily used.
It was a compliment for sure that we were seeing the utilization just skyrocket.
Thank you to your team for the great work you do with Healthy St. Pete. You guys have breathed such life into that. All of our trails are marked Healthy St. Pete. It's really become a part of who we are. And I think it's made us a stronger, better, healthier city.
I agree. Your vision is definitely just like our park systems, now part of our DNA. And I know one of your missions was to see it just live on. And I think Healthy St. Pete is here to stay.
So another place that we're just getting started with our parks, and I think this is really critical, is bringing people from various corners of the community together in unexpected spaces that maybe haven't been historically used by all of us. One thing I'm thinking about specifically is our skate park in Campbell Park, right? Right in the heart of our African-American community, historically just held as really primarily African-American. And now we're seeing all sorts of diversity and inclusion there.
Unbelievable.
I think that's a victory story.
It really is. The diversity is gender, it's age, it's race. I mean, unbelievable. If you want to see a melting pot of our community, you could go out to our skate park at any point in time and just see every area of our community being represented. It gives me chills, candidly.
It's really wonderful. For our listeners who may not be intimately familiar with Campbell Park, tell us a little bit about where it is, where it's located and about the skate park.
Sure. So our skate park is in the northeast quadrant of the park. It's just to the south of Tropicana Field, which I think is a good landmark. And we basically have one of the largest skate parks in the southeast. We have a 12-foot big bowl, which my nose bleeds just looking over the edge of the bowl. But it's just an amazing skate park. We have something for everyone. And again, this is another one of those St. Petersburg examples of working with the community. The Skate Park Alliance came to us and said, we really want to have this amenity. And we worked with them. And we worked with them on design. And we worked with them on, you know, setup. So this skate park has something for the five-year-old who's on a scooter. We've got snake trails all the way, again, to the largest bowl I'm aware of, which is the 12-foot drop.
And is that type of innovation something that we can expect as citizens here as it relates to our park system?
It is. And right now we've got a project going on over at I-375 where we're taking a lot that's under an interstate that's been fenced off for decades. It's an FDOT property, and we're going to turn it into just a meeting space for the community, an entry into the business corridor. And again, we're working with the business districts, the neighborhood associations, really looking to connect all the dots.
And I think that bubbled up from the community, right?
It absolutely did.
It's another example. So we're waiting for your bright ideas.
Absolutely.
That's what we do here. We transform intent into action and we make it happen.
Not only do we welcome the ideas, but we act on them and we make them happen.
And you know what, Mike? We're just getting started. You keep up all that hard work, meeting our people where they are, making these park spaces and green spaces so welcoming for them, and we'll keep taking care of them.
It's my pleasure.
All right. We appreciate you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you all for tuning in. Please join us again as we continue to talk about some awesome things that are unfolding in St. Pete as we continue this move from great to iconic city. We're just getting started. Have a great day.